Welcome to Grace Among Us, the podcast where we unearth the many faces and places of grace and share stories of the power of grace in our human lives. Our desire is that this will inspire you to see grace in your own life and share it with others.
Hello, my name is Carrie Adcock. I'm a mentor with a passion for showing high achievers how to make space and enjoy the ride so that they can make the impact their heart desires with their life back. And we also have Ebony Gilbert.
Good day, Carrie and others. My name is Ebony Gilbert. And by day, I work for corporate America in the healthcare space. And then in my spare time, I get to hang out with you guys and Carrie and discuss grace and how I've seen it shown up in my life. And hopefully how we can point you in a direction where you can see it in yours.
Well, welcome, Ebony. I'm so excited to be here today with you.
Likewise.
I'm super excited to be here today. And we got a question from our audience. And I don't like to judge things, but this is a tough one. So I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what comes of it. So the question is, with the recent shootings in Texas, how do we use grace in response to the anger that shows up?
Oh, the anger that shows up. The shootings in Texas that took place at that elementary school.
That's correct, yeah.
You know, that's a tough question, Carrie. I'm just thinking back to that day when that breaking news hit and how it made me feel, and it broke my heart. And I'm not the kind of person who watches TV and like sobs over movies or news stories, but I literally started to cry, probably for the first time in months. And I couldn't control it. And I couldn't articulate the pain I was feeling and the sorrow and the, I don't know if it was empathy or just anger. I don't know what it was. So when I answered this, I'm going to answer it from the perspective of how I felt in that moment. Mm-hmm. But I want to be clear, it was more than just anger. It was just devastation and sadness, more sadness than anything else. And my thoughts were all over the place. They went to those families who are waiting to identify children who are unidentifiable. And to those teachers and to the people who are responding, who had to see all of this, and to the family of the shooter, and how they must feel, and all the different points of pain and perceived failure. It was just all over the place. And grace did not immediately show up in my mind. It was not a automatic of, this is happening and how do we show grace? There was no snap of the fingers. There was no magic thunderclap that happened. It took some time. The initial human reaction was sadness and sobbing. And I don't have children. So there was no, oh my goodness, what if this was my child? It wasn't that. It was just the magnitude of what kind of hurt in a person causes this kind of hurt to be inflicted on other people.
Yeah.
And it was a realization of the type of pain that people must be feeling for so many different reasons. And then eventually, after that series of emotion and questions, I got to a place of, how do we help? So for me, it came in stages. The first day, the grace showed up as, how can I help? What can I do? Do they need social workers? Because I can do that. Do they need money? What do they need? How can I help? Grace showed up in a way of a helping hand. And that's the way I saw myself being able to extend grace. But I needed God to put some grace in me to forgive and to not see this as being a moment of questioning God. I needed some grace in my, I don't want to call it unbelief, because I never stopped believing, but I was disappointed that I live in a world where this kind of thing happens. And that doesn't mean the universe, because there aren't mass shootings in every country. That I live in a world where this type of thing happens weekly, and it's part of our news, and we're all exposed to it. So I needed God to put something in me, or ignite something, or speak to me, whisper to me in a way where I didn't feel so angry. Go back to the anger. Angry that this is the world I live in. And I'm gonna stop there, because I need to process and think about this a little bit. We didn't practice this question ahead of time. I need a second, because I feel like I'm back in that moment where my heart's racing, and I'm just, you know, I'm really feeling heavy with this type of thing. But, you know, just to reiterate, I needed God to put something in me before I could even get to a point of forgiveness, grace. You know, I needed to hear something directly. It didn't naturally erupt out of the grace volcano that dwells within. It did not happen. Yeah. What about for you?
Oh my goodness. Oh yeah, I absolutely get that, like being right back there. Like I got my body, I'm kind of sweating right now with this question. And I appreciate you taking it on to start with, because as you said, we do not rehearse this. This is in the moment, much like grace. When I heard about it, the very first question was, why? Like, even before the emotions, it's like, why would this happen? And I know for myself that why is not a spiritual question. Because even if I was given the reason, it doesn't change it. It doesn't change what happened. I do have a child, and it was good to hear that it's not about having a child or not having a child. This is an atrocity that it's like, it makes me want to cry right now. And to your point, to be able to be curious, if that's the word, be curious about the hurt and the suffering that was in that young man that allowed him to follow through on something like that, it breaks my heart.
It is. It's heartbreaking.
Like, how do we have a world where someone is so disconnected because, and this is a personal belief, that is the absence of God. That is a person who is so disconnected from grace, God's love, any of it, that they would even get to a place to be able to carry that out. Yes, the grace volcano was nowhere near me.
It didn't just erupt out of your soul.
That was not my go-to. And sometimes in these things that are so far from, like, just believing that it's even possible, gives me a very good look at how grace operates. Because it's not a given. It's not a given that grace is going to show up and, like, you know, my heart's gonna be able to see the situation with any love or any understanding or any, like, I just wanted to run. And it's only with grace that I could even consider the family of that young man, the parents of these children, the parents of the children who survived. because that is a whole other, they have been touched by something that no parent, no human should be touched by. And that idea of how can I affect this? And the anger of, I have no idea how to affect this. I feel hopeless. I'm pissed off. Why would anybody have to go through this? And that's back to the why.
And it's difficult to look at it. For me, it's difficult to not get into a judgmental zone because I don't want to judge. So I had to separate the act from the person because I don't know the person. The act is evil. It's pure evil. The behavior was evil. It's hard to call it a mistake because it happened repeatedly. It's hard to classify it in a way that can come out with love. It was evil. Now, you know, don't know the young man, don't know all the details that led up to it, but the act itself was evil. And it helped me to call a spade and just say that. Because when I'm trying to find God in something and there's no God in that act. Now, God will use all things for good and he'll work it together, but some things are just bad. And this was just bad. And the more time I spent trying to find something else out of it, the more frustrated and angry I became. So I had to get to a place where I could try in my best way to classify it. I had to find a way to bucket it. Otherwise, that anger turns in directions I don't want it to go to. I don't want to be angry at God. So I had to figure out a way to get to that place.
You know, you just made a point that if I'm angry at God, it's like I gotta shield up for grace to even show up for me.
Right. And it's not hurting God. He can handle it. You're putting this shelter around yourself where you can't receive. Mm-hmm. You know. And that's never the space I want to be in.
Mm-mm. And that's that if I ask why, if I want somebody to, somebody, something, some, you know, essentially when I ask why, I want something to make it okay.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, there's nothing okay about what happened. Mm-hmm. There's not one stitch of okay.
Mm-mm.
And so from a worldly perspective, to put it in a bucket of not okay.
Not okay.
Nothing okay about this experience, about this event, about any of it. And what do we do with it?
You know, I think it gets into the question of, I think another question we received, the relationship between grace and action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what do you do with it? What action are you moved to? I know for me, in the following days after that event, I became super sensitive to people's pain. You know, if someone, and it didn't always look like pain, Carrie. You know, someone's ranting and they're being nasty to me. I'm like, you're hurting. We should talk about it. And then I was able to operate in grace and possibly, I'm not saying I'm deterring the next mass shooting. Who knows? You don't know what you're intervening. You don't know what your intercessor moment represents. You never know. But for the following days, and it didn't last forever because I got lazy, but initially I wanted to know that I wanted people to know that I was praying for them and that I see you, God sees you, he hears you, he loves you, He wants you to bring your burdens and your cares and your concerns and all your hurt so you don't have to act out in a way that's violent, harmful, that doesn't represent who you are as God's kid. So I wish I could do that every day. I wish I was just in that space every single day, not at the risk of having tragic things happen to get there. But life gets in the way sometimes, you know. But for the immediate action was to be concerned and to immediately become my brother's keeper and to immediately lend out a hand to say, I can listen, I can show up, I can hear you, I can help you. If I can, I can find someone who can. And those were the immediate actions I took. I wish I did more. I wish there was something else I could have done. I wish these moments of being compelled to do those types of things didn't just happen after tragedy. I wish Congress was talking about gun laws, not just after a bunch of kids get shot. You know?
I do. It's that reactionary grace.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good way to. Oh, good God, good one, Carrie. Good one.
yeah. I wish so too, and I appreciate that you said it didn't last forever.
Mm-mm.
Right. This is the beautiful aspect of us being human, and I don't know. I wish I could set grace and forget it, and right? Set it and forget it, whoever that guy was, that cooker guy. Ron Popeil, that's the guy. You know, it's another aspect of grace is it's not a put a quarter in the machine and you got it, right? It's a consistent, it's a up and down relationship, and it's really based on how open or closed I am to it. Mm. And for whatever reason, tragedy often is like a mass opening because we remember that we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And that emotion, I don't know how it does it to our hearts. I don't know, you know, it's, our nature is to have one big tribe. And when these things happen, it's like, it's that, I don't know how to explain it.
It's the connectivity, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're all connected.
Mm-hmm. And I love to hear the action that came out of it was to see the pain in others. And I invite anybody out here who's listening to that can relate to, you know, to be curious and pay attention to the people that cross your path. And you may be having a crappy day, but, you know, they may be too. I have a thing. I'm going to go a little off topic, but not really because it just came up. I have this thing about people honking.
The horn?
Yes. I don't like it. If somebody honks behind me, like sometimes I am zoning out and the light has turned green, right?
Are you that person, Kim?
That sits at a light?
You're that
not
person?
Not often. Yes, I have been that person, Ebony. I'll admit it. Wow, I totally lost my horn train of thought.
You're that person sitting at the light, then I'm behind you honking the horn. I'm doing my 5 second countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now you get the horn because I
That's
gave
it.
You five
okay.
seconds of grace and you didn't.
I'm back. So that horn goes and grace is out the window. I am angry. I'm upset. It should be at myself. I'm upset. Like there is no godly reason, Ebony, that you should have honked that horn.
But I gave you
That's
5 seconds of grace.
exactly, but that's where that is my reaction. And it's grace that calms that down, right? So I may have somebody who's not very nice at the store, right? Who's checking me out. And I can be curious instead. I can be curious about why is this person so prickly? I'm going to practice that this week. I appreciate that. Because
Same thing.
I'm busy and people are honking at me and I don't like it. And that's just all not true.
So I gotta tell you, I never use my horn, never, because I too think it's a little rude. But when I have to, I have to. And the only time that I ever used it is when I felt like I was in danger, a car was physically coming towards me, or I had to be somewhere. You know, it's like, listen, I am already late, which is not your fault, it's mine. But now you're gonna make me 2 or 3 minutes later, even though this is only a 10-second interaction. In my mind, I'm gonna be 5 minutes later because you waited an extra 20 seconds. And I need a little grace in that moment because I'm not my best self, and you're in the way of my progress.
It's not your fault, but you're making it worse.
You're making it worse,
You're
and you're
making my
oblivious
stuff worse.
to the fact that I've had a terrible morning. And you know, just tying it all together, you never know what the other person's dealing with. You never
No.
know what got them to that place. You never know what pain or what suffering or what happened to get them in that spot. And I think that's how grace shows up. Because when you think about it, how many times does God grace us with our mess ups and our stuff and our things? And his grace is sufficient. It's all we need. We don't need more than that. So if it's sufficient for us to receive from him, doesn't it just seem right for us to extend it to others?
Yes.
It's like our reasonable response.
And that is the beautiful thing about grace too, is as I receive it and I share it, it doesn't diminish how much I get to receive. In fact, it might even multiply it.
Yeah, it's the ripple effect.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know how profound or how great our answer was to that question, but I think it's very real. You know, and my takeaways would be sometimes it just doesn't happen immediately. You know, there's the grace volcano doesn't always erupt on demand, not in the way we think it should, at least. You know, but sometimes it can show up as empathy. It can show up as you know, feeling the heart of people who are going through things, and then in stages and steps, God will guide you to what the next thing should be. He'll lead you in the direction you're supposed to go. Just ask for it. But and some things are just bad. They're bad. And you don't have to do mind trickery to try to convince yourself that something bad is good. Sometimes things are just bad.
Yes, and they go in that bucket.
But it does not negate our responsibility to still show up as kingdom kids and show grace.
Absolutely.
That responsibility never goes away.
No, ma'am.
This was
Well,
heavy.
this was heavy, and I'm so thankful to Dorothy for asking the question. So, to all of those listening, we'd love to hear how you would answer this question if you want. We'd also, any questions you have, send them in because, we'd love to hear those as well. So, Ebony, I think I know you wrapped it up very succinctly. So, I'm good on
You know, I'm
my
gonna
end.
think about this for like the next 4 hours. I'm gonna just sit here and ruminate on all the answers I should have given, all the things I should have said. And
Well, we might have part two. We'll see. Or some notes about it. I'm actually headed out to go be in the world, and I'm gonna go get real curious about being sensitive to where other people are. So thank you.
do it for more than 4 hours.
Okay, I'll do my best. Yes, I can. I can do that. I can do that for the week. See what
Gonna
happens.
try it a little bit more as well.
Okay, watch out for the Grace Volcano, though.
And I'm gonna make sure when the light turns green that I go. Just drive so no one honks the horn.
Right. Well, again,
Thank you, Carrie.
thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy, for the question.
All right, until next time.
Grace out.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. We love to hear from you and share it with a friend. Also, please be sure to subscribe so you're notified when a new episode is posted. We hope you're leaving with another pointer to grace, a new perspective that will light it up in your own life. Until next time, be well, be bold, be kind to yourself, and be on the lookout.